You're listening to AW360, a podcast from Advertising Week. Recorded in studio and live at Advertising Week's global events, AW360 features thought leadership conversations with the best and the brightest in the advertising, marketing, and technologies industries each and every week. If you enjoy AW360, we'd appreciate it if you took the time to subscribe on your podcast platform of choice and maybe even leave a positive review. Thanks for listening. Austin, welcome to the show. I'm so pleased to have you on today.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Richard.
So you're head of brand partnerships at Doing Things. Tell us what Doing Things does.
Yeah, so the best way to describe what Doing Things does is to tell a little bit of a story of our background. So our co-founders, Reed and Derek, were actually a couple of these original creators on Instagram and a part of this community called the Meme Illuminati. It was a DM group that was creating a lot of the meme content that you'd see bubbling up in your feed. This was like 2014, 2016, in the early days of Instagram. And ultimately, they were a part of this content community that was creating a lot of memes, a lot of content, and kind of trying to one-up each other, see who could go the most viral. And a lot of times, though, the content that they were creating ended up kind of getting picked up or taken from other larger media companies or other meme pages, and they weren't getting necessarily the credit for a lot of the work or the content that they were making. So they ultimately decided to band together, and they put a lot of the pages and brands that they had built on Instagram underneath this Doing Things umbrella. And so what started initially as a kind of coalition of meme pages has now grown into a larger media organization that we've built out now. So we have over 35 plus what we call creator-led brands in our O&O that has a team of creators behind them, publishing, creating content, curating content, and have a bunch of different communities as well too around those pages.
That is an amazing story. And I have two questions just based off what you just told me. The first is, O&O is not something that has been mentioned on this show much at all, even though it should be. For the uninitiated, can you explain what O&O is?
Yeah, so we call it our owned and operated, and that looks obviously very different than a typical digital media company. It's not a website. It's IP, it's brands, it's communities, it's voices that we've built on the platforms. And I think it's kind of been a common misconception that you can't build a media company on the back of social media. I think you know, a lot of digital media companies struggle to adapt to social and figure out business models and publishing models that were profitable, but they were really following a lot of the old tricks and ways of doing things from yesteryear. But I think there's been a small group of people who have started to figure out ways to actually build pages and voices on social and operate businesses that are digital and profitable.
Now, I love it when anybody comes in and does the thing that everybody else is struggling to do, especially in our social-led world. Tell me, what in your background led you to Doing Things? And, you know, what kind of expertise did you bring? And I think more importantly, this seems like a very interesting space to be playing in, let alone working in. What attracted you to it?
Yeah, what pulled me in is it's honestly been kind of like the through line in all of my stops in my career. So I actually started my career back in when I was in college, interning for College Humor. And, you know, what drew me there was when I was in school and tried to go to the library to study, I was actually just watching YouTube videos with a lot of my friends, and we were emailing and sharing YouTube videos. And that was kind of like right as that platform was emerging. And I was just really interested in learning more about that. So I was able and fortunate enough to find a way in and intern there. And then as that was coming to a close, that was actually around 2012, and that was when BuzzFeed started emerging. And I started, same thing, like seeing what my friends were sharing and the kind of content that there was kind of this human connection happening around. And that's always drawn me in and connected me. And I spent about 8 years at BuzzFeed in various different roles there. And then ultimately Doing Things attracted me because I saw a lot of those similar sort of traits, right? Memes and creator style videos. That's the kind of content that was filling up my DMs and like group chats I was in. And I always have been drawn, and I think there's like huge opportunities for brands and advertisers when they're able to insert themselves into content that is facilitating some level of a connection, right? People are sharing content with other people. They're thinking of someone and they're sharing something with them.
So you were already a pretty good fit for all this right out of the gate. I mean, this feels like a natural evolution for your career.
Yeah, it was super natural. And that's what's made it really fun and able to take a lot of the learnings, like I said, from my time at BuzzFeed and what worked well and apply that to what we're doing at Doing Things and how we partner with our brand partners, where we're really everything you see us do from a editorial standpoint and a business is the same thing we're doing with brands. We're not putting them in a box or a corner away from our audience. We publish our branded content organically to the feed and, you know, get hundreds of thousands of likes and shares and engagements to the branded content because the same people that are, you know, creating our editorial content and running these communities that we've built on social are the same ones actually working with brands and understanding, you know, what they're trying to do, the story they're trying to tell, who they're trying to reach, and then plugging them into the right places.
Very cool. Well, when it comes to working with, you know, like larger brands or media companies, you know, and you work with some, you know, household names, how does that process, you know, what does it look like, you know, from, you know, inception to execution? How do you walk them through, you know, what you guys do and then get them on board to work with you?
Yeah, I mean, it starts with a lot of listening, hearing from them on, you know, the audiences they're trying to reach, who they're trying to connect with, what their business objectives are, right? Like, are they trying to launch a new product? Are they just trying to put themselves in a culturally relevant area? And then we start looking across like the Doing Things communities and the different places that we partner with and figure out the right places where it makes sense to plug them in. And the fun part about it is, you know, the content we make is what I like to call kind of like lo-fi in the sense that it's fast, digital first content that doesn't require a lot of lead time or studio time. It's made in, you know, our creators' kitchens and their backyards, and it's fast, right? And so that is kind of like the process. Once we kind of understand the business, we'll quickly start creating content and figuring out ways to plug their brands in. And then from there, it's an iterative process, figure out what they like, what they don't like, and then quickly able to publish to the feed. And some of our best partners we work with, you know, we have an ongoing relationship with, and continuously the content continues to get better and performs better as we learn each other and what the audiences are responding well to.
It seems like you would bring a lot of expertise, not only to the creation side of it and, you know, creating content. I love the term lo-fi, by the way. That's amazing. But also, you know, when it comes to the cultural relevance piece, how much expertise do you bring to that? I mean, you know, obviously all these creators know their audiences. And I think a lot of times brands kind of go into situations like this feeling like they know who their audience is, but maybe don't understand maybe how broad the audience is or what those audiences' specific needs are. What kind of expertise do you bring in for that?
Yeah, and I think we're just at this really interesting time in defining what cultural relevance even is, right? It's more, I would say, fragmented than ever. Like, people's content and media consumption is all over the place and on the platforms, and everyone kind of finds the areas and the kind of content and creators that they personally enjoy and what they want to do or the kind of content they want to be engaging with on social and that their friends are sharing. And so when we're talking to brands and thinking about that, it's less of a general sense of cultural relevance, but more so like relevance within these communities and communities on social scale, right? There's small communities that have relatively small audiences that are a bit more relatively niche. And then there's communities that are much larger reaching. And one of the KPIs we look at when we think about community is what we call follower to reach ratio on Instagram. And so you look at a page in our portfolio like Middle Class Fancy that has only 3.1 million followers, which is significant, but not, you know, to the scale of a lot of pages, but it actually reaches 45 million people a month. So you end up starting to see that this content in those kind of communities that obviously that's a signal that people are connecting around this content and they're sharing this content with their friends, their families, that the reach and the relevance goes well beyond just the follower account. So I think a big signal, like I said, we look at is this kind of reach to follower ratio. And then with brands, it's showing them that, right? Like, hey, like this community, you may think it's kind of small and not very relevant, but it's actually got a lot more legs on social than you realize. And putting you there and inserting you there, we think makes a lot of sense because it's the right tone. It's the right fit for what you're trying to talk about and do. And then from a creative team, we work with them to understand, hey, like, this is the way this community would want to understand or interact with your brand, or the way we should insert it. Here's some like different inside jokes we can lean into and tap into. And we go to work from there. And it's, like I said, it's a very fun iterative process. We hear from a lot of our clients that, reviewing our content's like the favorite part of their week, because it's, you know, real and stuff that they would look at in their DMs and that their friends and family can actually understand for their job.
That's interesting. So, you know, one of the things that I think has been a through line just with all the different social platforms out there is that a lot of big brands tend to, for whatever reason, figure, hey, you know, we have this great piece of creative. We're just going to fire and forget across everything and hope for the best.
Yeah.
Obviously, that isn't the most effective strategy for pretty much anyone. How do you sort of figure out, you know, where messaging should be and tailor the content to, you know, through your creators to sort of reach the right people across each platform when all of them have so many different strengths and weaknesses?
Yeah, I think to your first point about how brands a lot of times will approach social and just kind of try to blast as a message out as wide and far as possible. And, you know, I think that is rooted in a lot of, you know, brands wanting to leverage and use their old sort of media buying tactics and apply those to social. And I think those are the brands that you see, you know, slipping or maybe not totally connecting with younger consumers, right? I think the brands who have been able to adapt their approach and not really apply or think about their traditional media measurement or metrics that they buy on to social media and understand that, you know, there is more of a community aspect and you need to have a POV and a voice. And if you've, you know, brands who've maybe struggled to establish that on their own, I think partnering with creators and brands like within our portfolio, give them this kind of opportunity to cut the line, right? They're going to borrow and be able to lean a lot into the equity we've built with our audiences and our communities. And, you know, they really have to lean on the partner to trust them, that they know the way that the audience wants to hear from them or connect in. And so I would say the brands that are doing it the best are also doing the most work on it and not taking maybe a lazy approach where it's let's send out the same brief to 100 creators and blast out the same, you know, somewhat piece of different content and trying to just grab a bunch of scale and reach through kind of like a fragmented approach like that. But the ones who are actually slowing down, taking the time to understand the communities that make sense for their brands and how do they, you know, build relationships with those creators and those communities in a more impactful way?
Yeah, I have in my notes that, you know, digital media as an industry is in a turbulent time. I would actually take that a step further and say that digital media has always been a turbulent time because it's ever changing, it's ever growing. You know, the platforms that are here yesterday may not be here today, and they definitely won't be around tomorrow. How do you meet that challenge to be where you need to be, have creators where they need to be so that you can get brands go to those communities that, you know, need to see them?
Yeah. I mean, it goes back to like, honestly, I think the like absolute starting point of what all brands or marketers should be thinking about, which is like, what are consumers doing, right? Like, where are they spending their time? And the answer to that right now is they're on, especially with younger audiences, they're on the platforms, they're consuming creator content, they're connecting in those kind of places, right? Like they're also watching streaming, right? And watching some of that, but like, you know, people aren't going to websites anymore, right? Like we see that in the traffic patterns and consumer behavior. So I think from a starting point, it's actually like taking a step back, think about your consumer and who you're trying to reach and where are they spending their time and how can you connect with them and engage with them based off of you know, what you know about them and where they are from a media standpoint or a content consumption standpoint.
And as you look back on the work you've been involved with since you've been with Doing Things, what do you recall as being your favorite things you've worked on?
It's a good question.
You can pick two, three.
Yeah.
Doesn't have to be one.
So, I mean, I've really enjoyed some of the work we've done recently. So one of our properties is property called Bob Does Sports, and it's a show. It's these three guys who go out on the golf course, have a lot of fun with each other, and it's pretty irreverent. But what's amazed me about that property and that show is the audience is relatively small. It's gotten, I think it's like 500,000 subscribers on YouTube, and the add up of all the social media channels is a few million. But just how dedicated that audience is to them and how deep the relationship runs between the creators on that show and the audience, and then being able to see that translate to our brand partners. So instead of trying to just do like a kind of spray and pray wide net of having hundreds of different partners that we try to squeeze in to different ad reads, we're really focused on finding partners that we go deep with and integrate them deeper into the content and into the community. So these guys are not very good golfers, but they've somehow managed to get a club sponsorship. So Callaway, they're the official club of Bob Does Sports, and the community's response to seeing Callaway come in and you know, sponsor the guys and be a part of the community was, I've never seen a response to branded content or a brand partnering with a publisher or a content creator in the way that they responded to Callaway coming in and announcing them as like an official partner of Callaway.
That's amazing. Well, Austin, if someone wanted to find out more about you and doing things, where should they go? And, you know, if it's not a website, that's okay.
We do have a website, ironically. It's doingthings.com. You can find us there, and we have an inbound lead form. We have a little more information, or feel free to send me an email, austin@doingthings.com.
Excellent. Well, thanks so much for taking the time to be on the show today.
Yeah, of course. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to AW360. For more podcasts like this one, be sure to check out Advertising Week's ever-growing roster of podcasts for the advertising, marketing, and technology industries, including our flagship podcast, Great Minds. You can find those at www.advertisingweek.com/podcasts.